உள்ளது நாற்பது, 40 Verses on Reality by Sri Ramana Maharishi, an introduction and new recording. When asked by Sri Murugana about the nature of reality and the means to attain it, Sri Bhagavan poured forth his grace in his composition Ulladhu Narpadhu, or 40 Verses on Reality. These verses have been a beacon light for all devotees as a direct, simple and clear expression of the teachings of Sri Bhagavan. In these beautiful terse verses, Sri Bhagavan leads us ever inward to be established as the reality that we, as he explains, at every moment always are. No one is incapable of the realization of reality, as we are all aware, without any doubt whatsoever, that we exist. That is the key. Our being is proof of the reality, and indeed is the reality. And this reality is present even in the absence of the body, which is mistakenly understood to be our self. In deep sleep, for example, when there is nobody, no mind, and no world, the fact that our existence continues unbroken is within the experience of all on a daily basis. Is it possible to even imagine that one does not exist? No, that reality is ever present and ever attained, says Sri Bhagavan. And Murugana concludes that this Ulladhu Narpadhu is the light by which it is revealed. Sri Bhagavan explains the first two invocatory verses in talks, talk number 5, 6, 7. The verses and meaning are given below, followed by Sri Bhagavan's explanation. In Tamil, it reads, Ulladala Thullavunar Ulladho Ullaburu Lullalara Ullathe Ullada Lullaminu Mullapuru Lullaleva Nunullathe Ullabadi Ullade Ulla Lunarvaye Ulle. Invocation. Could there be a being consciousness existing apart from that which eternally is? Since that reality exists in the heart, free of thought, who could meditate upon that reality called the heart? You should know that to remain within the heart as it is truly to meditate upon the heart. Again, in Tamil, it reads, Maranabaya Mikkuvalam Makalara Naha Maranabhava Milla Magesan Saraname Sarvartan Sarvuduthanj Savutrar Savannanj Sarvaro Sava Tavarnitar Parvisir. When those who are in dread of death seek refuge at the feet of the deathless, birthless Lord Supreme, their ego and attachments die, and they, now deathless, think no more of death. Commentary by Sri Bhagavan. The first stanza is the auspicious beginning. Why should the subject matter of the piece be brought in here? Can knowledge be other than being? Being is the core, the heart. How then is the Supreme Being to be contemplated and glorified? Want it to remain as the pure self is the auspicious beginning. This speaks of attributeless Brahman according to the Jnana Marga method of knowledge. The second stanza is in praise of God with attributes. In foregoing, to be as one's self is mentioned. In the present stanza, surrender to the Lord of all. Furthermore, the second indicates 1. The fit reader, 2. The subject matter, 3. The relationship, and 4. The fruit. The fit reader is one who is competent for it. competence consists in non-attachment to the world and desire to be liberated. All know that they must die sometime or other, but they do not think deeply on the matter. All have a fear of death. Such fear is momentary. Why fear death? Because of the I am the body idea. All are fully aware of the death of the body and its cremation. That the body is lost in death is well known. Owing to the I am the body notion, death is feared as being the loss of one's self. Birth and death pertain to the body only, but they are superimposed on the self, giving rise to the delusion that birth and death relate to the self. In the effort to overcome birth and death, man looks up to the Supreme Being to save him. Thus are born faith and devotion to the Lord. How to worship Him? The creature is powerless and the Creator is all-powerful. How to approach Him? To entrust oneself to His care is the only thing left for Him. Total surrender is the only way. Therefore, he surrenders himself to God. Surrender consists in giving up oneself and one's possessions to the Lord of mercy. Then, what is left over for the man? Nothing. Neither himself nor his possessions. The body, liable to be born and to die, having been made over to the Lord, the man need no longer worry about it. Then birth and death cannot strike terror. The cause of fear was the body. It is no longer his. Why should he fear now? Or where is the identity of the individual to be frightened? Thus, the self is realized and bliss results. This is then the subject matter: freedom from misery and gain of happiness. This is the highest good to be gained. Surrender is synonymous with bliss itself. This is the relationship. The fruit is to reflect on the subject matter and gain knowledge which is ever present here and now. The stanza ends with the immortal ones. We are indeed indebted to Sri Muruganar that he asked Sri Bhagavan the questions that lead to the composition of this work. The first verse was composed on the 21st of July 1928 and the final verse was completed on 8 August. How did it come about? Let us see what Sri Bhagavan says as recorded in Day by Day by Devaraja Mudaliar on 7-12-1945. Dr. Syed thereupon asked Bhagavan when reality in 40 verses was made by Bhagavan. Bhagavan said it was recently, something like 1928. Muruganar has noted down somewhere the different dates. One day Muruganar said that some stray verses composed by me now and then on various occasions should not be allowed to die, but should be collected together and some more added to them to bring the whole number to 40, and that the entire 40 should be made into a book with a proper title. He accordingly gathered about 30 or less stanzas and requested me to make the rest to bring the total to 40. I did so, composing a few stanzas on different occasions as the mood came upon me. When the number came to 40, Muruganar went about deleting one after another of the old collection of 30 or less on the pretext they were not quite germane to the subject on hand, or otherwise not quite suitable, and requesting me to make fresh ones in place of the deleted ones. When this process was over, and there were 40 stanzas as required by Murugannar, I found that in the 40, there were but two stanzas out of the old ones, and all the rest had been newly composed. It was not made according to any set scheme, nor at a stretch, nor systematically. I composed different stanzas on different occasions, and Murugannar and others afterwards arranged them in some order according to the thoughts expressed in them to give some appearance of connected and regular treatment of the subject, namely reality. The stanzas contained in the old collection and deleted by Murugannar were about 20. These were afterwards added as supplement to the above work, and the supplement too now contains 40 verses. Initially, the first invocatory verse was written as a two-line verse, Kural Venba. The great scholar devotee Ganapati Muni noticed this and expressed concern that this was different from the rest of the verses, which consisted of four lines. At his request, Sri Bhagavan then rewrote the first verse in a four-line format. As this first verse referred to the formless self of all, Ganapati Muni then said that it would be preferable to have another verse which referred to a God with name and form, as was the tradition for all similar works. He suggested the name Mahesan, which appeared in another verse. Accordingly, Sri Bhagavan modified the second verse into its current form, highlighting the path of self-surrender. New recording, Sri J. Jayaraman, resident of Sri Ramanashramam and well-known to devotees of Sri Bhagavan, has recorded a new version of Ulladu Naalpadhu. There are several renditions of Ulladu Naalpadhu available. Arunachala Ashrama has, for those wishing to hear or chant this divine Upadesa, created a presentation which includes Sri Jayaraman's recitation along with the Tamil text, transliteration and translation of each verse. This can be found on the Ashrama's YouTube channel, which contains many inspiring videos of Sri Bhagavan. May the grace of Sri Bhagavan, so beautifully revealed in Ulladu Naalpadhu, ever shine